love, blessings, and honor. Thanks for joining us. I'm your co-host, Eyes Red.
And I'm your co-host, Reality Soldier.
And we are Garvey's Ghost in the Spectrum of Roots. You know, we have a look at something, you know, don't say it already.
Intro, you know?
Yeah.
After our intro.
So, we got a great one today.
We're in Johannesburg.
Josie. So it's great to be here, receiving the wonderful hospitality of a beautiful family.
Absolutely.
And a very notable stalwart pioneer.
Yes.
In a de ting.
Tell me, sir.
Tell the people who we are.
Okay, so today we're at Moja Urban Culture Center with the one and only King Roots. Yes, greetings, King Roots.
Greetings, Diana.
How you doing?
Best of luck.
It's an honor to have you here, man.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
man. Interview.
It's an honor for me to be here to come meet the idea.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wow.
Same way in my life.
Yes.
Same way, yes.
And to meet your lovely family as well. What beautiful. Man of our family, you say, man? What? Man of, beautiful. You know, our family and him of our team.
A team, ain't it? Good to go.
Yes, King. Some people call it the tribe, you know?
The tribe.
I see you better.
Yes, King.
For real.
Sure, I know.
So let's start at the beginning, like where you were born, your parents, siblings. Let's start taking it from the beginning of the
let's
journey.
Let's talk about the beginning of the journey. Yeah.
All right. So I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
But my parents are originally from Trinidad and Tobago. All
right. Okay. Which part of Trinidad and Tobago?
They're from Belmont.
Okay.
So that's in Port of Spain.
Right.
In town. 100%. Right.
Yeah. Which part of Brooklyn?
Which part? Flatbush.
Right. Where else?
So not, Crown Heights? Not okay. Because now Flatbush, you have East Flatbush. So I'm more on East Flatbush side.
Right,
Troy Avenue. Yeah, okay. Represented Troy Avenue, massive pickup. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you was born in, how long were your parents in New York before you were born?
My parents moved to America in the 60s.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So my mother was she was like a helper to her family. And then my father was also came in as an orthopedic technician in the hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they moved there. And then after a while, they bought my brothers, because I had two older brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, now, Rastawanda and Ras Bryan.
Right.
Yeah, so now, Rastawanda, okay, but I don't want to jump too fast, but yeah, so I have two brothers, and then I was born in Brooklyn, yeah.
So it's three of you.
So it's three of us altogether.
Three boys.
So they landed in New York first, or did they move right? Landed New York.
They also landed in New York. They were also born in
New York. Now, your mother and when your parents came to America, they went straight to New York. They didn't go to
New Jersey. No, my mother and father was in Maryland
first. Oh, in Maryland?
Yeah, there was a Maryland.
Whereabouts?
That I wouldn't know exactly. Yeah, I know exactly. They started
big up all the Maryland people. Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah, Baltimore and Rockville and Gaithersburg and all the crew.
Yes,
Moe County, baby.
That sorry, I don't know. Were you visiting?
No, my family all live over there.
Killer. All right. So they moved over to New York because my uncle now was in New York first.
Okay.
Yeah, so he invited them over to stay with them. So they must have lived by him for about a year or so.
Okay.
Yeah, then they moved over to, it's not Crown Heights, it's more like Crown Heights, downtown Brooklyn side, them side there.
Right.
Then we moved over to Troy Avenue, and then, you know,
then
I come through.
So what was life like for a young King Roots? It was Prince Roots, that's true.
I wasn't even Prince Roots because the roots come from my brothers and them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. To be honest with you, it's them was Rasta first.
Right.
Yeah. It's them who had to go through the separation first and the tribulation first because in the 70s, because my brothers in the 70s and early 80s, my brothers and them was teenagers.
Right.
At that time there. I was a small youth, so I can say in the 70s, I was like only like 9 years old. I was born 1970. So that lets you know there. So when Rastafari came into the scene, it was like 79, 78.
Right.
So me now, I was with the parents, you know,
right.
pushing it away.
Okay.
While my brothers and them was like, we're trying to change
bringing
the whole
it.
Thing.
And at that time, the whole immersive subculture for young people was Rastafari,
was
music, the whole thing.
Well, in the States, there was a lot of things coming in, but I know it was a spiritual time.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a spiritual time. There was a lot of gurus. Okay. At the time, yeah, yeah. Okay. A lot of gurus was
post-hippie kind of thing.
Hippies. Yeah, yeah. And there was also that back to Africa, yes. You know what I mean, type of thing also going on, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I could say, and I have to say the Jamaican brothers that came through at that time were pushing that you know, Jah Rastafari.
And that influence was there from decades before Marcus Garvey and the whole, all of that movement.
Yes, King, yes. So my brothers picked it up.
So I picked up on something that you said, mm-hmm. couldn't you? Where you said you was with your parents and there was kind of, they weren't too thrilled or enamored by it.
No way, no how. As I got older, I have an overstanding.
Right.
But in the beginning, they made it seem like my brothers and them were possessed.
Right.
Yeah, something like they, again, through the marijuana.
Right.
So through the marijuana, they smoked something. Because that was the talk.
Yeah.
You smoke something,
now
you're going mad.
My deal.
You're going something else now. So they made it seem like you're like hell on earth that came to the house. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So, but as we got older, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got wiser. You know what I mean? But in the beginning, it was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and then on top of that, it's not even the mindset.
Mm.
You're growing your hair in them nasty hairstyle, man.
My brother,
that would have been an abomination.
My brother, I seen my dad put my brothers in headlocks. Yeah. Oh. I see my dad take their crowns, cut them up.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like I said, it was a battlefield. It was a battlefield, but however, they conquered.
Yeah. Tell us about school then, when you first started school. How did that go for you? That would have been in New York, right?
That would be now, what are we talking about? Public school? Are we talking junior high school?
No, junior high, like the first.
Because we're going into junior high school now, right?
Or the first stages of school.
First stage of school is no problem. You know, public schools was good. Can't complain nothing. Like that. It's junior high schools when the madness started. And it's in the junior high school, that's where the roots came out.
Okay.
You see, because now there was since in the beginning, there was that influx of now the West Indians coming into America.
Right.
There was that generation of us now raising up. So let's just say, when junior high school in seventh grade, I could say, it was me and three other Jamaican brothers.
Right.
Right? Started to go to school, and we started wearing the jackets with the red, gold, and green.
Okay.
And I used to take my brother's jackets with the red, gold, and greens. Because now we were going to a school, and this was in the 50s, this is Winthrop Junior High School.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not really sorry to say this, but the mindsets of the black Americans was horrible, my lord. You go to school as a freshman, because remember now, you're coming into school now, these are people that were stealing your what? Sneakers.
Yeah.
Stealing your pants. Yes. Stuff like that. But when you wear the red, gold, and green.
Right. The shield.
The shield came in effect. I was like, wait a minute, this thing got, you see, I actually took my brother's jacket and went to school and realized that what? This thing's got
saved.
Even my next brethren too, also, he now started wearing his elder brother stuff. It's like, it's three brothers that linked up. It's me, a brother named Junior Garvey, and another brother named Winston James. Even to today, we are still friends, you know?
Wow. Cool.
But we were together in the beginning, you know?
Cool.
We don't know what sticked out.
I think it's understated. Maybe it's acknowledged more now, but the influence of the Caribbean, particularly Jamaican culture, in New York particularly, because it was such a large community. If you're leaving Jamaica, you're going to either Miami or you're going to New York.
Right.
And all the musicians, we could reel off the number of hip-hop artists whose mom, parents, or whatever is from the Caribbean.
Yes.
So, it's very, very strong.
Because during those days, I'm not lying to you, during those days, Jamaicans were hated.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, everything bad was a Jamaican.
Yardies, isn't it?
Everything bad was a Jamaican.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be associated with that.
Right.
You see what I'm trying to say? Stealing, Jamaican. Hustling, Jamaican.
Drugs,
Jamaican.
Yeah, yeah.
Crime, petty crime, Jamaican. They had a bad label. I'd say they had a bad label fund in the early 70s. Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But as the Rastafari or the roots culture of the music and stuff like that, that is all influenced by my brothers.
Right.
Yeah, all of everything. Mm.
So you definitely were there and witnessing the changes, and it would have been a time of change for an emerging teenager. Anyway.
Yes, King. Yes.
So elaborate more on that now, on this whole Rastafari and how it impacted on your life and everything. How did it go?
Well, like I said, at first I rejected it because not that I rejected, because of ignorance I rejected, because I didn't know about it. And I listened to my parents. Any young child would listen for, especially a mother, a young child would listen to.
Were they church-going people?
My father was not a church-going man, but he comes from the lineage of that.
Right. Okay.
What they say when my grandparents are staunch people.
Mm.
Yeah, proper, prim, Trinidad, keep it clean, no problems, don't want no issues. Clean, you know what I mean? Everything
make
just
sure
clean.
Your brush go down.
My Lord, everything must be
pressed.
Polished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
Don't slouch.
But that's that dignity that we, the only thing we had was our dignity. So it's that kind of thing.
So that's what it was. But now my father, he was more, he's more chill. So I think it was what my mom's used to trigger him. Oh, yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, we need that strong punch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then she put the fear in me, you know what I mean? But once I realized that, hey, this thing is, there's a... We started digging deeper. Now the music came in. Mm. Yeah. So now when my brothers and them now used to listen to music now, let's be honest, because it was dub reggae versus the trend of the new hip hop that's coming in now.
Okay.
You know, the Sugar Hill Gang and all these other ones that's coming in now.
Right.
So you saw that my brother and them now, their music, they used to take off the treble, they used to take off the tweeters, they take off, and all you used to hear is
bass.
So and trust me, these brothers are having a jaw. They are having a nice time with it. You couldn't understand, you know, what it is. You know what I mean? There was a song they used to play. Let me just get it in there, because Horace Andy. Money.
Oh, yeah.
People, root of all the stuck in my head. You see what I'm trying to say? That one, I used to keep on repeat. All right, let's move forward now. There is a sound system called King David Hi-Fi. King David Hi-Fi came to our house because those days, basement parties was running things.
Right.
Yeah, so we had a basement downstairs. And King David came in with, I think, about 3 or 4 amplifiers, and you know, all the other stuff that come with it. He had a hi-fi system,
right?
And they introduced me to the music through that, gave me the microphone, and was like, you know, just say a little ones or two words and stuff like that. And I don't know what I was saying, we're just playing around with it, but I was fascinated with
it,
the echo, everything like that.
Intrigued
you. And from that, I think I just moved on from there. Yeah, just moved on from there. Then I think around 84, 85, we're now going into the ending of junior high school, and then Sling Ting came out.
Okay.
And then there was that Sling Ting era that took hip-hop and kicked hip-hop out the world. Everybody was just Sling Ting. Every car everywhere was Sling Ting.
Right.
Everywhere. So the whole school, let's say my last year of school, last year of junior high school, going into high school, was so-called the beginnings of dancehall reggae. Yeah.
So growing up in New York at that time in the 70s, was there still a predominance or relevance of Marcus Garvey and the teachings? Was that vibe still happening in New York at the time?
No. 70s was not really Garvey. Was the introduction of Rasta and I think Nation of Islam.
The Nation,
Islam.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were pushing more
than
anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. You see, I remember, and remember, everybody didn't like, even Nation of Islam, they didn't like Rastas.
Yeah.
Because you smoked ganja.
Yeah.
You grew your hair. You didn't want this. They didn't want that radical look, that radical stuff. So it was everybody, so-called staunch Christians, everybody was pushing Rasta away, you see. But Rastafari prevailed. It still kicked
through. I think it's also a matter of... obviously, the Nation wouldn't have, and Rasta wouldn't have endeared themselves to the Nation, because the Nation was trying to, with the bow tie and everything clean, regimented and in order, and trying to save people in jail.
Yes.
But Rasta was almost like the opposite, that sort of almost on the outside, very
100%.
Indisciplined.
100%.
The way you have your hair, it's not kept nice, you're smoking weed and the whole thing. You know,
100%.
But I think the Nation wasn't necessarily pro-Africa.
Wasn't pro-Africa, because that's what they would have did. They would have pushed you to...
Yes.
The Nation knew that if you would have kept it up, you would have discovered Garvey.
Yes.
But the Nation really wanted you to go Malcolm X.
Right.
Yeah. But see, and not late Malcolm X.
Yes.
Early Malcolm X.
Right.
Post-Hodge. Yeah, because late Malcolm X was talking Africa.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
When he was related to Garvey.
Yeah, you see, and it would have led you to, and again, if you dig deep again, then you would have found that what in the nation also, there was Garveyites also.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, spin-offs. They were just spin-off. You know what I mean?
A lot of principles come from those teachings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see? Yeah. So that's what is coming to the 70s. The 80s era, how they attempted to change the whole spectrum was through the drugs.
Right.
Yeah, because that's what I'm trying to say. When I think of the late 80s, I just think of the dark. It's like it was a dark time. Like, there was no sun in the sky. It was just because it was...
Was that the crack
era? Yeah,
Reaganomics, that whole thing. Crack
era. It turned so-called, I don't want to say so-called. I don't want to call it like that. Because there were some nice brothers there, but they got caught up in the situation. Mm. They say Rastafari at one time, them turned crackhead. Turned crackhead.
Apart from your brothers, who were the other elders and peers?
Cousins, mainly family. Yeah, and then there'll be one or two strong brothers from her. Because my brothers and them had a crew of guys, man. I ain't lying to you.
Okay.
Yeah, they had tons of guys coming to her. Because my parents, once they broke down with my parents,
right?
My parents freed up.
Okay.
Because my brothers, anytime you, that's one thing I can say about my older brother, right? It's Rastawanda. Jah rest his soul. He moved to Zimbabwe. He passed away in Zimbabwe also.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have one brother. He came here also.
Right.
And then one that stays in Newark, New Jersey now.
Right.
He stayed behind, but he made sure, because those days there was no like books.
Okay.
Too much on His Majesty and Rastafari and stuff like that, but the Bible. He made sure. And deal with my mother on a different level.
Right.
That he humbled her down.
Okay.
He humbled her down. Yeah. That even the wig come off.
Okay.
Okay.
Got natural again.
She had natural hair. She used to twist, braid it up black, and put on a wig.
Right.
It came off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's again, I was like, wow, okay. That's you went from that to that.
There's
you know what I'm saying?
Real strength in that.
You see, once you, again, that's how I always stress knowledge. Once you get the knowledge and you humble and you just listen, don't yell, just listen to one another. You'll see you're going to find something there that unites one another. And I saw that with my my brothers and my mother and my father, you see? And my mother and father.
Okay.
So time I got to high school, I went to George Wingate High School. George Wingate High School was known for aeronomics, because you could learn to fly planes there and stuff like that. And I wouldn't say it's a tech school. It wasn't really too much tech. And I think computer science was now coming into also. Mm-hmm. I think, those times, that's like, we're talking like 88. We're talking like 88. 88, 87, them times there. The school was predominantly West Indian.
Right.
Predominantly West Indian.
Okay.
If you were Black American, you were still like, your mind. Yeah. You lost your Yankee thing. It's gone.
You fit in it.
Whoever was Black American in that area, East Flatbush, has now moved out or shifted.
Right.
Or shifted. You're now rolling up your pants.
Culture.
You're now wearing, what's these shoes?
Travel Fox.
You're not wearing Travel Foxes. You're not wearing Clarks now. You know what I'm saying? You're no longer Adidas. Adidas is going out. Pumas is going out. Right. Everything is now changed up now. You see what I'm trying to do? You're now in your military clothes now.
Right.
Yeah, everybody just turned military. You get your Kango now. Everybody's in Kangos now.
What sense did you get that Bob Marley, I know when Bob's passing was like 1980, wasn't it?
Yeah, early
and you 80s. Had a sense that the wider community, even the white community, had a big grudge and respect and admiration for this man and his music.
We wasn't big enough, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
I am not lying to you. Because Bob Marley's that we were getting was softcore Bob Marley.
Right.
Let's get
it. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, all the...
But did you find that the wider community, you might have found some acceptance through that little tiny gateway that Bob Marley might have forced over? Because I found a little bit of that.
Especially when I went to
America.
I didn't get too much of this influence of Bob Marley in New York. Because Brooklyn had this... Brooklyn likes this... gritty underground type of vibe,
right.
Hardcore,
right.
Dancehalls, like you know, as you know, as you as you as you mentioned, gunshot,
yeah,
dub plate. It kind of sort of evolved into, it went from to dubbing, to niceness, to this hardcore dub plate, rap mixed with dancehall.
And sound clash and...
turned into something different, which was a good thing. It was a revolutionary thing. We wasn't really fighting one another.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really a fight for one another. But it did turn into like today, like, okay, you say 90s now versus East Flatbush versus UK Massacre. Because UK would be, there was a UK Massacre, but that was like up Crown Heights.
Okay.
Crown Heights Massacre. Okay. They said like they had a little vibes, you know what I mean? So it did turn into that, you know what I mean? But it was still for the love of music.
Of course.
It was still for the love of music. Yes, King.
So who were your first influential Rasta musicians and artists?
My first...
Because it wasn't Bob and, you know, who was you getting in New York?
It wasn't Bob Marley. Let's say, man, like, who we've heard... Because I told you, the first one I heard that that was drilled into my head, and that was...
Horace Andy.
Right. Okay. You see what I'm saying? And then from what I hear from them, or then like Dennis Brown, you know? My brothers used to have pictures of Burning Spear on the walls.
Right.
Yeah, so these are the ones I would listen to, you know what I mean? But then now you say, okay, let's talk about King Roots era. When you say now, we now starting off... going to the dance. So now we're talking about General Levi.
Sorry to cut you. The King Roots started in New York then?
Started in Brooklyn, New York. Right.
Okay.
And then, like I said, it started off with, I could literally say, three brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, three younger brothers.
Right.
And that was me, a brother named Winston James, and a brother named Junior Garvey. Right. Okay. So Roots is on Troy Avenue, Troy between Leonard, because that's another thing you got to remember too, also to now, right? Because after that era of my brothers came in, us coming out as the youth now,
right.
The new youth now, right? Every other block, there was a sound system.
Okay.
I mean, it started to just...
Right.
Same in London. Yeah.
And we all started in basements.
Yeah.
I have a basement party today. Next week is Desert Man basement party. And we start like, it's just spreading. We all just knew that what? We don't go to the 90s.
Right.
Because the 90s now is the hardcore Jamaicans, and those brothers' parties always end up with pop, pop.
Yeah.
And the only reason that, as we learn later on now, it wasn't that it was like, it was the nature, it was just politics.
Right.
Yes, of course.
Yes. What they were doing in Jamaica, they brought it to New York.
Yeah, yeah.
So no one knew that. Everybody was like, yo, Jamaicans are just wild. They're just shooting up the party. You know, they had a tendency, not like no one, it got so bad. Especially when that crack era came in.
Right.
It got so bad, they didn't want no Jamaicans really to... You want reggae, but we don't want a reggae DJ. We don't want a Jamaican DJ.
Right.
Yeah, because he's going to come with what? That. But the P&P and this thing. Right, they're going to come with that.
Right.
You see? We want somebody that's going to play the music, love the music, and DJ the music.
Yeah.
That's another thing also within that era too. The Yardi Man, them, when they started off now... they were on a pull-up, you know, one thing. And why now, remember, now we have a collaborations of West Indian children. Now I'm from Trini background, Jamaican background, Bayesian background, Haitian background, Grenadian background, Brazilian, everybody's Guyanese background.
Right.
So we all into what? We're in America. We're going to do what Americans do, which is what? We're going to DJ.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to spin the vibes. You know, when the beginning it was chanting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we chanted. So pull up.
Yeah.
Next side. Right, the rhythm, blah, blah, blah. But that's not doing. The party wants to.
Right.
We want that DJ now. Mm. That's where now we come and reflecting. So now we're coming in out to, which is rocking at that time. Tyen, Rankin Tyen.
Yeah.
General Levi, Slim Smith, Coco T, so these are more influenced. Coco T, Admiral Tibbet.
Right.
These are the singers.
Don Carlos?
Don Carlos is my brother in them.
Oh, right, okay. I'm just thinking of me.
That's my brother in them. Don Carlos. Like I said, D Brown. D Brown made it over to us also, but it started with my brother in them because now D Brown now went more, because I think my brother in them, he was more hardcore.
Right.
Yeah. But when it came, when she shifted over, now it's more lovers. Right. Shifted into lovers. Mm. Yeah, Sanchez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These are the ones now that influence. Then you got your Shabba Ranks. Again, going upwards, your Buju. I'm skipping a lot of people, but yeah. Buju, we're going up. You see? So that's like going into the 80s, into what? 90s. Yeah.
So how big was your sound? Like, have you got a big set?
When I first started.
No. Yeah, no, like established King Roots in New York.
When we started off with four bottoms, because that was the mandatory.
Right.
Don't come there, don't come to no dance with no two bottoms.
That's right.
And the mid and the thing, and talking about your sound.
Yeah.
You could say you're upcoming. That's what they used to say you.
Right.
You're upcoming sound.
Okay.
But when you get four bottoms, two mids, two high mids, tweeter box.
Yep.
If you get a horn on top.
On top.
Number one. We now stamp to a sound system.
Authenticity.
You're now stamped to sound system.
All right, good.
Are you a killing sound system? You had to get dub plates.
Yeah.
If you're not a killing sound system, don't say or don't challenge any sound.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Do your DJ thing. Yeah. You're going to get gigs.
Yeah. Right.
If you run your mouth talking about, no, my son can this, you better defend it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you better defend it. And you're prepared to lose it too. Yeah.
So when your sound was fully established in New York now, what was it? Four bins, eight bins?
We started off with four bins. Four bins. Again, like I said, four bins. 2 minutes, and then you're official. That means now you can go into the clubs.
Yeah.
You now graduated from the basements.
Right.
Because now parents don't want your sound in their basements no more.
Yeah.
Because now mommy's upstairs and daddy's upstairs and you're tearing down the place now.
So how did the transition happen then? Because, I mean, King Roots is now based in Africa.
Okay. So you went to skip the whole 90s.
Not really. We could
Like I say, in the 90s, again, so now we go into 90s now. So 90s now, I have now established at least about 12 bottoms now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Now we went from the four straight to the 12. But however, again.
And you're still in New York at this time.
And I'm still in New York at this time.
That's the point I was trying to make. Yeah.
So as we are, I'm not going to say we. Because it was always been a conglomerate with me and brothers.
Of course.
I would never leave out the brothers. So my other brothers now, who we first started off with, saw that now the reggae itself was shifting into something different again. That's not, again, are we going into the Bujus now?
Yeah.
We're going into the early stages of what you say, dancehall vibes now. You're getting hiring now for weddings, you're getting hired now for carnivals and sessions and stuff like that now. So my main brothers, they fell aside. And I got some new set of brothers now.
Okay.
And this is the brother called DJ Scratchator.
Okay.
DJ Scratchator, now today, he DJs for Busta Rhymes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but in the beginning, he started off with us. He started off with a group called the Fun Bunch. So the Fun Bunch will play hip-hop, reggae, and calypso.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're not doing the dub plate clashing thing in New York, you're not saying nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Either you're going to do that or you're going to shift into the what? The multiverse and you're going to get the hip hop. You're going to get the party.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing the dub plate thing. The reason why I didn't do the dub plate thing because it was not fair. It was not, in my eyes, it was not a fair. Because a lot of the Jamaican brothers who were there or the Jamaican sound systems who were there in New York City used to get free dubs.
Yeah.
How are you going to go against that?
Exactly.
Two, there's a lot of crack dealers going on. There's a lot of crack going on. There's a lot of crack money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So these artists was getting paid.
Big money.
Ridiculous money, my lord.
Special, yeah.
My lord, for specials.
I know.
Ridiculous money.
Silly.
I'm not taking that. Even if I did have that cash type of cash, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'd rather buy a house.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I'd rather buy a house, apartment block. You know what I mean? At least now I'll be sitting there. I'm getting rent money off the stage. By now, I'm sitting out. Not even, you see, today, right? I know men like that. I know a lot of guys like that. They got stacks of double plates, stacks. They're doing nothing.
Exactly.
It's just sitting there. And now, this modern time, I hate to jump like that. In this modern time now, they said these days you could get AI to sing a song for you now.
Yeah.
So you see how the things thing go. Yeah. So that's what happened. We transitioned from that of saying I'm going to be a hardcore sound system because that my whole brother's era of playing dub and stuff like, you forget it. You can't play it. Right. In New York, you're not going to get that. No one is going to come to your dance.
Right.
No one's going to come to your dance. But if you say you're going to mix it up, you're going to play a little calypso, soca, a little dub, little dancehall reggae.
And you do it right.
And you do it right. You're mixing on time.
Yeah.
We are there.
Yeah.
Because in my era, when a promoter hires you, the promoter knows.
Right.
The DJ is the most important thing to this party. Mm-hmm. So alcohol, everything is there. Keep them happy. He's going to keep the people happy.
Yeah.
Food is selling. Peppers in the food. More drinks is buying.
Yeah.
He's happy.
That's
how it works.
So true.
You know what I'm saying? He's happy.
Yeah.
That's how it is. So we ran that up. We ran that up until about 90, 95, 96. Meantime, within that time, say, because my brothers is now already left. My brother, my elder brother, he got tired of New York. And he went to come to where? Africa. He met up with Ras Cheza. Then we got Ras, I think he met Ras Dawit. Big up Melody Music.
Right.
Big up everybody. Right. And I'm saying Ras Dawit. He met all the Ras Jabalani. There's a lot of Rasses that were, I think they were coming here after the Bob Marley.
Right.
Because Bob Marley, big up Zimbabwe. Today's Zimbabwe's independence also. You guys know that, right? Today. Today. Big up to Zimbabwe.
Yes,
Zimbabwe. You know what I mean? So after Bob, I think, came to Zimbabwe and sang that, that's when the second wave, I think, of Rasta started coming.
Yeah.
Because I think the first wave came from Haile Selassie.
Yes.
When they went to Jamaica and told, no, there's land there.
Yeah.
And they all went to Shashamani. The second wave was with Bob Marley.
Right.
Yeah. So my brother then left. So during that time when my brother's gone, cassettes used to come from us to Zimbabwe.
Okay.
Yeah. And a little bit inside. Because Ras Chez, I don't know if he was selling Kingwood's cassettes here in South Africa, but I know Zimbabwe definitely.
Right.
That's a definite thing. Zimbabweans know Kingwood's cassettes was going there. So now in 1997, and I think 96, 97, my brothers and them, they saw how American schools was running. They saw how things was going. They used to tell me, stop wasting your time. Come to Africa. Stop wasting your time. Come to Africa. Stop wasting your time. Why are you wasting your time here? Why are you wasting your time here? And then they always used to put in my head, this is a ticking time bomb. Because then let me go back to again now. Remember from the early 90s going into 2000, right? There was that death of the computers and everything was going to shut down.
Right.
So they used to tell me by 2000, the millennium bomb, by 2000, what are you staying here for? There's not going to be anything here, you know what I'm saying? There's not going to be nothing here. So in 1998, I took my first trip.
Okay.
And I came out here.
Yes, Africa.
Yes, sir.
Reach. All right. Tell me how it got.
Yeah, so in 98, I made my first trip. My first trip was I went from Cape Town. I was in Cape Town for a while. And then from Cape Town, I went to Zimbabwe. And I spent 6 months. No, sorry. I spent 1 month in Cape Town and 4 months in Zimbabwe with my brother. I didn't do nothing. I just came there.
Your brother was living in Zimbabwe.
My brother was living in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my older brother, Rastawanda. And he set himself up that side there.
Okay.
Like I said, I think his three brothers are lined up. It was Ras Tawanda, Ras Chieza, and Ras Garbri. So Ras Garbri was, I think, in Cape Town. Ras Chieza was in Johannesburg. And my brother was in Zimbabwe. They were called the African Shumba.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had set them. They were there from the 80s, so they had set themselves up.
Wow.
Yeah, me, again, I'm coming in the second wave.
Right.
You see, just to come and see what's
next
the
generation.
Bias. Next generation again. So when I came to Zimbabwe, I immediately fell in love.
Okay.
I immediately fell in love.
Wow.
I did my time. I went to see all the attractions, everything. Cape Town again, seeing all the attractions and everything. The only issue I had with Zimbabwe is just that it was just a major slowdown. From coming from the city, coming from New York.
Right.
That's the only thing. But otherwise, loved it to the core.
Right.
So when I got back in, I just came back into America. I tried to tell as much people as possible, just go, let's pack it up. They thought somebody did something to me. They thought they thought somebody worked magic on me.
Okay.
Or something in my food or something like that. To see that I would leave, you know what I mean? While I'm talking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, forget these brothers. I'm just going to save my money. And then 6 months or so, I just saved up my money again. I bought my ticket. I took my turntables. I took my records and I did my first show in, I think in 2000. Yeah, for 2000, I did my first show in Zimbabwe. I met Zimbabwe's number one sound, that was Jabi, okay. Stereo One.
Okay.
Yeah, we did all a right. nice one there. And then from there, I came to South Africa. And then I linked up with at that time it was the Admiral and Jasid that was here. That was in Yeovil, okay. In Rocky Street. Yeah. Mm. So then after that, now that's when the mission started. Yeah. Right. So after that, because it was always 6 months.
Right.
I do 6 months in, 6 months out.
Right.
6 months in,
yep.
6 months out.
Yeah, yeah.
6 months in, I go to America, work, save, out.
Right.
Come to Africa, see how, you know what I mean? Again, humble, listen, learn, mm-hmm. chill, see where I could find myself. See where I could find myself.
Right.
Yes.
So that would have been a hell of a trip. I mean, you're going from one of the fastest cities on
earth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
By comparison, a fairly rural kind of.
Yes.
How did you find getting things done, the bureaucracy and stuff like that? Things you wanted to do.
Like I said, you had to find placement because it was between South Africa, and then, you know, South Africa's very big, you know what I mean? So it's between Cape Town and Johannesburg.
Right.
I want to say that that's like two countries itself in itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's Cape Town, Johannesburg. Durban wasn't even included. Right. You see, I did do Durban, but there was nothing, let's say, reggae orientated in Durban in those like early 2000s. If they were there, I didn't see it. I never saw it because I was along the beach line and everything like that. I did never see it. I did Zambia. Zambia was like being in Zimbabwe, but Zimbabwe was more fast-paced than Zambia. I did Botswana, but Botswana was very slow, you know. And then and Botswana was like Gaborone is a very small city, it's more like a town. So from Zimbabwe, I chose Johannesburg. I prefer Johannesburg. I prefer Jersey.
Was it? Yeah. Is it because it's more akin to life in New York? It was more that kind of pace, probably.
Obviously, yeah. The transition wasn't so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. There was in those days, like 2001, 2002. There was still that revolutionary spirit here, also in Jersey too. So the reggae and the music we were playing at that time too, because 90, I think it's 96 or. Or 98. Anyway, between 96 and 98, Sizzlers, Capertons, Luciano, Anthony B.
Right.
There was like a whole new, like
new
a
wave
whole
of
new,
Rasta music.
Ah, yeah. You know what I mean? Because it dipped. It. That's why I thought we were switching up the music now.
Right, yes.
Yeah. But the culture, the revolutionary culture was still there. You see? So when we switched up, it was just for economics, let's be honest. You know what I mean? Because it's not to say I was looking. That's another thing I would just like to point out, true Rastafari. You see, self-sufficient. You find ways to make, to find work, you see, or you create your own work. Yeah. You don't really go look for a job and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You see, if I did do a job, my job was to buy speakers. My job, money was to buy amplifier.
Yeah.
To now do my create own business. Job.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. So I could leave that job.
Absolutely.
You see, save myself. So I was self-sufficient on my sound system. It was paying for me, paying for my youths, you know, paying for all the things that I had there, paying for my food, paying for my roof.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I mean? It paid for that. But again, I had to just like leave away the fire.
Right.
Yeah, you see, and mix it up.
Yeah.
But the fire came back when Sizzler them and all them came back in. And I thought I could have bring that. I hear what I say. That's a key word. I thought I could have. Do that
right.
But unfortunately, it's not like that. It's not like that.
So, did you build a new sound system here, or did you bring the old set?
I bought the old sound system here, but then here there was power issues and everything like that. Yeah, there was also power issues. There wasn't good techs here. Also, there were like a, you remember. I don't want to talk on the sound, but you remember the time when I went to go get my wife knows. There were some issues with some 18s I had.
Okay.
And we had got a guy to do it. And my Lord, yo, my Lord, the man, he hit me hard. He hit me hard, man. Well, when we turned on, it's like smoke was coming out. It. It's like, yo, my, yo, it's like, you understand, no? It was like, no, man, wasn't, you know what I mean?
The standard.
What did you do, my brother? Yeah, you know what I mean? I got smoke coming out my speakers, you know what I mean?
Not good.
So I had to shift up. I had to shift, yeah. Even the boxes, I even got a guy here to do boxes, and it was like brr, brr, brr.
Rattling. Okay.
My brother, the standards was very okay. You know, is that I don't think that the brothers was intentionally, but I just think there's economics. You know what I mean? Right. They just was like, okay, I just need the money, bro. I don't care how my you know what I mean. If you're gonna do something, you're gonna make sure that you do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But now some of the brothers, you know, the mindset. Right. I just want the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't care if it's, I don't care if it lasts you 2 days.
Yeah. it might be a thing where if you're in a culture or an environment where you're accustomed to that standard.
Yeah.
And this is how we do sound from the 70s, from the 80s to the 90s. By the time you get to these times, it have to be done to a certain standard or quality. Maybe they didn't quite have that kind
not
of sentiment.
Here.
Right?
Not here.
So it might have been that as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I did get a chance. There was a company that was going through something, and I don't know, True Jah Works, you know what I mean? I just happened to be the right place at the right time. And I had the cash, you know what I mean? The brother was selling stuff, and I was like, pass it on.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Could. And then now I learned along the ways, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Just don't push to the level that it'll burn. Yeah, because if you got something that's OG here, you better keep it in keep it that. Because if you lose the original one, it's going to be very hard to get that vibe again. Yeah. It's going to be very hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Just real quickly, we didn't really touch on it, but
yes.
Did you have a sense of where the music fit in as far as the history of South Africa and the transition from apartheid to post-apartheid? Did you get a sense of, did you get that from Adida?
What I learned when I came in is that reggae was a part of the revolution for the transition, which is Lucky Dube.
Right.
Yeah. What Lucky Dube. So, but then I just started to realize it was just Lucky Dube. And it's like, okay, Lucky Dube.
Okay. what about the rest of it?
That's,
for real.
Can we get some more in there? Because, you know, I'm so used to
100,
200 different people there.
Yeah, for real.
No, because when we was reasoning with my man the other day, it was a thing like, they were they definitely, the South Africans, they had an awareness that outside of South Africa, in the black diaspora, we were all rooting for guys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Brigadier Jerry, enough artists.
You know what I mean? Yeah. From Peter Tosh, Jimmy Cliff, Eddie Grant. And,
yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Different tunes. And what was the name of that band? Free Nelson Mandela. There was this international...
UB40, all these ones.
Oh, yeah. Everyone sung for South Africa.
Yeah.
Everyone sung. So we heard that. Okay, so I guess reggae on the outside of South Africa. Because there was another brother here who's from Malawi. But see, again, out of South Africa. His name was JJ. Carlos JJ.
All right.
He's also from, but I heard he passed on. But I heard now, I used to think he was local, but he's from Malawi.
All right.
From Malawi. But he just resided here in South Africa.
Okay.
So, but again, going along the line of playing the music, that's when I realized, okay, there's still not... There's still a lack of knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, there's still a lack of knowledge here.
Right.
You see, here, of pushing it. Yeah. So, you know, we push, and then we establish something with a sound system culture here in South Africa.
So you've established your sound in Africa. When did the rest of it fall into place? Like, you have a shop, you have a whole business, you're doing arts and culture, and how did that all come together?
That is Rastafari. Because now let's say it like this now. When I was here in Johannesburg, my now mentor is Ras Chiedza. Now Ras Chiedza, Ras Dawit, and I think which is my brother and all them, they all established stores.
Right.
My brother in Zimbabwe because he's also African Shumba, but he used to, the East. He used to call himself the East on that side. Ras Chiedza was Seal of Ujamaa, right? Seal of Ujamaa. And I think Ras Garvey was, I can't remember the name of his place. He had something in Cape Town.
Okay.
Right. So I was under Ras Chedza's wing. So I stayed with Ras Chedza. And he used to tell me that, what, you know, roots, you know, the reggae music roots, you know what I mean? You better get something else.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. But the music is in me. I didn't really know too much. But then, you know, going back and forth to the States, again, like I said, when we're there and through the powers of Rastafari, you link up with other people. Mm-hmm. So then there was another elder in the States also too, Ras Glenn. Okay. So Glenn knew that I used to go back and forth.
Right.
So during the time I was going into New York, I would go in during the summertime. During the summertime is festive time. So festive time is when you do your pop-up shops, your stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
So I used to buy my little ones and ones items and then resell it with his brother called Ras Glenn. Because okay. he used to have the main tent and everything like that.
Okay.
And then, you know, we worked on that vibe.
Right.
Then when I came back in to South Africa, I met my queen around 2003.
Okay.
So when I met by her, now we used to just also sell little stuff on the side, little trinkets and little stuff like that. Inside. So that's how we evolved into that.
Okay.
Yeah, because we got married in, we got mar- I got married in 2005. So when I got married to her, I moved from Johannesburg, from under Chedza's wing, and I moved to the East Rand, Kuruleni.
Right.
This is where I'm right now. Okay. And then we set up a little street store. And that's how we went from, you know, just from a pop-up tent.
Okay.
You know,
it just grew from
that. And it grew from that, you know. Wow. And that was from 2005 till now.
Right.
Yeah.
So books, clothing.
Books, clothing, incense, right. soaps, anything that I used to bring from the States. Because I would never try to do what a local was doing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? If a local's doing that, I'm doing something different.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I never tried to mess with the local economy because I knew that was a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cause,
and it's just impolite.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, yeah, you just come in
and
push yourself on right, yeah, yeah. like this, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Remember, I always tell people, please, people, when you come into Africa, I understand, we know you know the thing. We know you know the thing.
Yeah.
But please humble down and just chill. Right. Let the locals do what they got to do. Observe and try your hardest not to step on toes.
Right.
And you'll go through. You know?
So in terms of like, say like you're doing clothing and things like
that,
do you try and sort of create little pockets where people are doing different, like, you know, like they're actually manufacturing the clothes? And do you get into the design stuff like that? Or do you just buy?
I tried to do something like that. But again, the quality of the brothers and the sisters.
Right.
Maybe you're going to, like I said, you'll give it the full 100. They'll give it like 50% or something like that. Because their main objective is that what? I'm here.
Mm.
I put my time in.
Yeah.
Pay me.
Yeah.
I don't care if the stitch is going like this.
Yeah, right.
I want, you want the stitch to go like this.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I can't do like that.
So as the purchaser, you have control over the quality.
Yeah,
if it's not up to scratch, you're not buying it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what's going to, you see, if somebody, because you may think this do, but you'll see with us, especially Rasta, because the people here is not used to seeing a Rastafari owned store or something like that. So you'll see people like, and for some strange reason here, also here in South Africa, I don't know, like, Rasta got this type of thing for shady business. You know what I mean? I don't know.
See.
Yeah, I don't know how they got that like that. But you see the people like that. You'll see them when they'll touch the texture.
Okay.
Make sure the, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, why? I mean, I see you going shopping in these other stores. I don't see you good.
Yeah.
Giving it such a rigorous.
To Gucci yet.
Pulling it like, I'm like, why are you pulling it so hard? Like, there's a T-shirt. You know what I mean? But no, we got to just make sure. If I wash this, it's going to, you know what I mean? It's not going to fade off in one wash.
Because the ideal scenario is to have several cottage industries that all feed into the same thing.
Yes.
And as long as you have a level or a standard of excellence, it's supposed to thrive.
It's supposed to thrive, but yeah. You see? Just, so you know that the Chinese are also here too. So I think And the Chinese also was like, you know, oh, Rasta stuff is selling. So,
yeah, of course. Okay.
Yeah, if you bring in 10 t-shirts, I'm going to bring in 100 t-shirts. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So we grew on the levels that the people knew that we were going overseas.
Right, importing. Yeah. Right.
So it's already in the head.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
From England. What?
Yeah.
Exclusives.
Okay.
Yeah. If I bring in one t-shirt, if I bring in two t-shirts, the Dan Dada's in the area, they know that they're the only one in the t-shirt. Right.
Okay.
And they know me personally, so they know I'm going to have this t-shirt for next 7-8 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what helped us to grow. You know what I mean?
And do you find this business is kind of falling hand in hand with the sound?
It was beautiful. Like, I'm going to say it was a beautiful thing before that the horror came of COVID.
Yeah, absolutely.
The horror of COVID. But what I would do is this, that I was not making money, say, on the sound system as self, you know, because when we first came in, we did the, you know, we did the dances and stuff like that, you know. So there was the hype of, you know, King was from New York, from the States. It was that hype, you know, the hype. Right. But now he's not leaving.
Yeah, he's here all the time. Permanent.
Yeah, he's not leaving. He's staying here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So why is he staying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then he got married. You know he's got married now. Yeah, I got married. There's a child now? Wait.
Yeah.
So he's not like, you know, like, okay, Africa, my motherland, I want to stay. But, you know, as soon as I get the money, I'm out. He's staying, you know, you understand? So the whole attitude changed.
Okay.
So now it's no longer like, okay, we didn't need to pay you no more because, you know, you're down with us now. Come with something else.
Right.
That's where the clothes now come in. And that's where everything comes in. So again, whatever my elder was selling, In Yeovil, we tried to do something different.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I always try to do. I've never tried to be exactly what a person is doing.
Right.
And if I did what the person is doing, he may be in one area. I am making sure you're going to at least drive another 30 to 40 minutes to get to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, you understand? I'm not going to be right next door to him. Or down the block from him. I'm far from him, far from any type of any vibrations and stuff like that.
And by having that attitude, you've created your own kind of USP, innit? Do you know what I'm saying?
Say that one more time.
You've created your own unique selling point.
Yes, my lord. Yeah. Yes, my lord. You see?
By having that attitude.
Yes, my lord. Yes, my lord. Yeah. Because when we moved to Alberton, like I said, there was no one. There was brothers there. Local brothers were there.
Yeah.
You see, but again, they were selling the, you know, what you could get the markets here, the Chinese markets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we, again, I was not stepping on no toes and nothing like that.
Right.
You see, and then whatever we made from the shows, if we have extra, as we already learned already, of course, then you do what? You keep a little free dance. You know what I mean? If you have the extra money, you give a little food because you know what I mean? Food, music, dance.
And, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's how we get out. That's how we were taught to get your blessings.
That's right.
Yeah, my dad used to cook for people. We learned that from my father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He cooked for people.
Yeah.
Good vibes come.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, no, good vibes come because my household wasn't no, like, man, kicking in my door and all type of craziness like that. We never grow like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how we did it. Yeah.
The correct energy.
We try.
It's like that energy coming like seeds, you know? They were put in the right soil,
yeah.
If it don't water good,
yeah,
not getting the good growth and the crops, you know?
Yeah. You see, so
and the crops is the blessings, that's true,
100%. My lord, and then once I get youths, you know what I mean,
yeah,
yeah, I just want to make sure that at least they can say, you know what, hey, because you know, again, right, we never base this thing on color and then type of thing like that, you know what I mean, we base it upon character. So even if when I leave this my physical, then youths is going to know, they say, okay, you know, you're, all right, your dad may, okay, maybe. We didn't have a thing, but the character, I mean, never rob nobody
It's clean work.
Yeah, jerk nobody out this thing or take guide girls. And because that used to be a thing here, you know. Oh, these foreigners come in, they take our women.
Okay.
And they want to take our jobs. Like,
right.
I took a girl that you consider that my wife, me, my queen, you would consider be what? They would say she's a colored or something like that. So, you know what I mean? I never touched nobody. Empress and, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Model off in a dance with somebody, empress or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Leave everybody to be, you know what I mean?
So,
yes, King.
An established sound man,
yes,
artisan, businessman,
yes,
entrepreneur, too much label, but very, very inspiring. Yes, you know what I mean? And I think the indomitable spirit, is that the word? Indomitable. That's that word. But that spirit of can do is very pervasive with the one that we've spoken down here, especially when we come from the western side and come and sit down
there. So that's
extremely... It's heartwarming that you can come down there and bring your integrity. And like you say, you don't rob nobody, you don't take nothing from nobody. You come with love.
Yes, King.
And you
yes,
see
King.
The rewards of
yes,
it.
Yes, King.
So
yes.
I love that. Mm. So apart from your blessed family, I know all your youths are my homeschooled, so that demonstrates a next level of next tender, level. Loving care that you have with your jewels.
Yeah. Sure.
So what does the eye do outside of the music and the business? The eye have other interests, like
hobbies,
baking. One looks at hobby when you have
yeah, like hobbies, yes. You mean hobbies? It's just work. It's just work, and how can I say? Because you're always going to be on the attack. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm just trying to push off the attackers and stuff like that. And that's just the negative energy. Right. And that's obvious you're going to get that. They said if you're not getting that, you ain't doing nothing.
No.
Yeah, they say that. We so, say that. So that's why. You know what I mean? Yeah. If they say that, what was it? The basketball player. I forgot his name. Ivan Harrison off. I forgot his name. Because I really don't get into the basketball thing. Allen Iverson or something.
Oh, right.
If 10 people love you, 100 people hate you.
Yeah.
100 people love you, 1,000 people hate you.
Right.
1,000 people love you, 10,000 hate
That's
you.
That's the ratio.
Yeah. So it's like, you feel it. You actually feel that force. You actually feel it.
Right.
And you're not even really pushing yourself to be on those levels. But for some strange reason, it just happens, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's based on your relative success as well, because if you were failing miserably, you wouldn't have that many haters.
Sure, my lord.
But when I see you establish and thrive, it's a problem.
So that's what really I'm based on. And keeping it spiritual on a level, you know what I mean? As you say, physical, not staying too much in the spiritual, but balance.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Physical and spiritual.
Yeah.
That's it.
Most definitely.
And then, we just do our everyday thing, which is what? Pay bills. Keep the house and,
Looking back over your journey so far, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Apart from do it earlier.
Yeah.
Be more humble.
Be more humble.
Yeah, be more humble. Try to be more.
That's coming from a humble man.
No. The fire is there. The fire ignites sometimes.
Right. It ignites.
Like I told you, once you feel like you're getting that, they say like you push a dog against a wall, he's going to bite.
Yeah.
Sometimes people push you those levels.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you get those ones. I don't know if like, they want you to do that. They have a problem with the humbleness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that energy. Yeah. We're always getting tested on those levels. Yeah.
I think it's the nature of bullying. You know, a bully would never bully somebody that's big.
Bullying. Yeah.
Always bully somebody smaller.
Ask my wife. I always tell her I hate bullies.
Yeah.
I hate the word hate, but I don't like bullies, man. If you approach me nicely, we're good to go. But you come with that bully vibe, then we got to switch up. Then we got to switch up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What advice would you give to someone looking to repatriate to Africa?
Don't rush. Take your time. Do your homework. Get online. Those days, it was not online with me.
Right.
Those days, it was just verbal, like people talking. Yeah, don't listen to too much people. Go and see yourself.
Right.
Yeah, come out and see. Put the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Put the boots on the ground. Run up and down. See what's up. Take advice from ones. Don't be too hard. You know what I mean? And take your time and come in.
What does that say about managing your expectations also?
If your expectations is too high, you're going to get hurt.
And if they're too low, you'll miss opportunities,
Try to, again, balance.
Try
to keep yourself balanced, you know what I mean? Mm. You do the work too. Don't just take all advice. When I first came in here, they used to tell me, all Zulus are thieves. All Zulus are stupid. All Xhosa people is this. All this. You're going to get that. You're going to get that from stupid. And mixed people are gangsters. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't listen to none of that stupid talk.
Stand for yourself.
I have to do for myself. Mm. And I found out that you find wickedness in all of them.
Yeah, of course. You have to take people at face value, obviously.
Yeah, you find wickedness in all of them. Even the ones that was like, oh my Lord, Rastafari, Selassie is the greatest, whatever. If I turn my back on you, stab me in my back.
Exactly.
Just as fast as any dude that came to me, oh my nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
same vibe.
So true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, so.
And if you had a young person wanted to get into sound system business, what would you tell them?
I tell them to come through. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Keeps you fit. Yeah. Keeps your mind creative.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fit and the mind is creative. Because you're, especially if you want a challenge. If you come in as a challenger, oh man, you get to go.
Right.
Because you got to have intelligence. You can't come and challenge nobody with no intelligence.
Right,
get it?
Right.
Yeah. Don't even go into that battlefield because they'll tear you apart. Yeah, people. I used to tell people that, you know, don't think it's not vinyls in, because you know they'll come out. No man, play this tune, and it's about what comes out that mouth.
Right.
Yeah,
I seen guys take guys down to tears just by using their mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't care what music you got in your box.
My Lord, even the crowd going, the tune played, that the man come on like, idiot tune, that tune.
Yeah, yeah,
take that tune and shove it up your butt, and blah, blah, blah. They show the people just laughing. Time you come back on, the people's like, boo, come off this.
Because at the end of the day, it's the entertainment industry.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Entertaining people. Yes, and if you got two dances and one on each side of the street, they're going to go where they're going to be entertained. It's not necessarily because, oh, they got the most exclusive music.
Yes,
it don't work like
that. Yes, sir. It don't work like that. Yeah. Who brings the fire and maintain it?
Yeah,
because you know a lot of the guys, they go up.
Yeah.
Drop back down and they can't get back up again. It just dance is dead all the while, you know what I mean? So that's the vibe.
Well, my brother, you've been keeping the fire raging for decades.
Sure, my Lord.
An inspiration to a lot of people.
We give thanks.
Definitely an inspiration to me. I'm very humbled
to have
met you and feed off of your energy.
Yes, King.
Because we have to feed off of each other's energy.
In the nicest
possible way.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brother King Roots, honorably and humbly give thanks.
Simon. Bless love
for your time and your story. We love it.
Give thanks, I read.
That's
beautiful. I read, give thanks.
Soldier. This has been Garvey's Ghost in the Spectrum of Roots. We'd like to thank all the viewers and the listeners. Don't forget to tune into the next episodes coming soon. Peace and love.
Bless.
Fire.
Sheila.